SG and your team, media. It's now 10 o'clock. You are most welcome. And you will do 1 hour suffices. Yes. Just for all of you to present. And then we'll then ask clarity seeking questions. Yes. Okay. So you are most welcome. You may start with the presentation now. OCJ is given 1 hour, which is 60 minutes. You are most welcome, Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you so much.
And Honorable Horn, Honorable Butelezi, Honorable Kosana, Honorable Maila, our secretariat, and media again. So, thank you so much. And today is our luckiest day because two entities are appearing before us, which entities we are very much proud of, which is OCJ, it's not an entity, it's a department, my apology, and Legal Aid. Yes, they all got clean audits, so we are very happy. So just address us being very relaxed. I know you won't be nervous this time, unlike before. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, and may I introduce the team, Chairperson? I'll start from my right, my left. We are represented by a team from the Office of the Chief Justice. I'm Mem Mercy Josimwe. I am the Secretary General for the Office of the Chief Justice. On my left is Mr. Natiu Nube, the Chief Director responsible for court administration as well as the spokesperson for the judiciary. I have towards my right the CFO, Mr. Gassi Kuther, Ms. Teboho Mashifani, the director in my office, Mr. Itumele Malau, the director responsible for monitoring and evaluation, Dr. Mkomule Mamushu, the CEO responsible for the administration for the SAJE, South African Judicial Education Institute. Next to her is Bumi. She is responsible for ICT, Information Communication Technology, Acting Chief Director. And next to her is Ellen Minsiotsi. She is the Director responsible for Strategy and Planning. Next to her is Ms. Rousseau. She is a member of... Rousseau is the CFO of Justice, sorry, Ms. Ross. Ms. Ross is the member of the Audit and Risk Committee of the Department of the OCJ. I think, is there anybody else there? Yeah. That represents us from the OCJ. I will proceed, Chairperson and Honorable Members, with the presentation. Chair, I would like your guidance in view of the other members being new. We decided to include some of the background information, but I'll be guided by you whether we need to go through that. The presentation outline will run like this: the purpose, the introduction, our vision, mission, and values, the mandate of the department, the legislative requirements and prescripts for annual reporting, our strategic goals, our contribution to the National Development Plan, our contribution to the MTSF, the Medium-Term Strategic Framework, the overall performance from the year 2015-16 up to 2017-18 financial years, the organizational overview, the budget program structure of the department, the program performance, the program 1, 2, and 3, program 1, administration, 2, superior court services, 3, judicial education and support, a summary of the financial performance, Auditor General's audit scope and 2017-18 outcomes, the comparative OCJ Auditor General audit outcomes for the past 3 years, the status of the drivers of internal controls as per the Auditor General reporting, the OCJ risks areas emanating from the audit report of the AG, the key role players and the level of assurance provided, and the conclusion. The purpose to provide and present to the Honorable Committee members the overview of the OCJ 17-18 annual report and highlight the major achievement of the department in this financial year under review. Introduction, just as a historical background, the OCJ was proclaimed by the President of the Republic on the 23rd of August 2010 for the purposes of providing support to the Chief Justice in his role as the head of the judicial branch of the state as well as the head of the Constitutional Court. The OCJ was established to promote and reaffirm the principle of judicial independence as guaranteed in Section 165 of this Constitution, 1996. The Minister is the executive authority for the department, and the Secretary General is the accounting officer in terms of the PFMA. Although the department was established as a national department, it remained a sub-program under the Department of Justice until the end of the 2014-15 financial year. And the transfer of the functions from the Department of Justice to the OCJ department were done in October 2014. And the OCJ received its budget vote to be independent under Vote 22 with effect from the year 2015-16 financial year. In terms of the department, the vision and mission and values, the vision of the department is a single, transformed, independent judicial system that guarantees access to justice. Thank you. Justice for all, the mission to provide and support the judicial system to ensure effective and efficient court administration services. Our values is that we will uphold the following values: respect for and protection of the Constitution, honesty and integrity, openness and transparency, professionalism and excellence. The mandate of the department, the OCJ, as already highlighted, the mandate of the office is to support the Chief Justice to execute his administrative and judicial powers and duties as head of the judicial branch, head of the Constitutional Court, and as per the determination by the Minister of Public Service and Administration in 2010, when the functions were first transferred. And the functions determined when the department was formed and scheduled in the Public Service Act are to provide and coordinate legal and administrative support to the Chief Justice, provide communication and relationship management services and intergovernmental international coordination, to develop court administration norms, policies and standards, and to support the development of judicial policy norms and standards. As approved by Cabinet decision of the 18th, 2014, and determined by the MPSA, in other words, the Minister of Public Service and Administration has to approve and make the determination of the functions of the department when the functions shift from one department to the other. And also, in addition of the September 2014 determination, we were also mandated to support the judicial functions of the superior courts, to support the Judicial Service Commission in the execution of its mandate, to support the South African Judicial Education Institute in the execution of its mandate, and to administer the remuneration and conditions of employment of judges. In terms of legislative mandates, we start with the Constitution. We derive what we do from Section 165 of the Constitution, which deals with the judicial authority that vests in the courts. I will not go through it section by section. Also, the second being the 17th Constitution Amendment of 2012, which for the first time formalized the Chief Justice as the head of the judicial branch and entrusting him with the responsibility to establish norms and standards for the execution of judicial functions of all courts. The amendment also designated the Constitutional Court as the highest apex court in all matters. Then we derived our mandate also from the Superior Courts Act of relevance is Section 49 that deals with matters that relate to the courts. I will highlight here Section 8, which deals with the judicial, with case flow management that we have to support the courts through, and all the regulations that relate to the functioning of the courts. The South African Judicial Education Institute Act, I will not go through each one of them, but just to highlight that its role is to ensure continuous judicial education of all judicial officers, both judges and magistrates, and I think also the traditional leaders involved. And it has its own governance institute under the council that is chaired by the Chief Justice. The Judicial Service Commission Act of 1994 also provides for our mandate in terms of which we support the commission chaired by the Chief Justice in relation to the appointments and of judges, which culminates with the President appointing the judges to the bench, as well as the complaints and other matters relating to ethics around the judicial officers. The Code of Judicial Conduct, adopted in terms of the regulations of the JSC Act, deals with matters relating to the judicial space, judicial functions on the cases, reserve judgments, and when and how they should be dealt with. And we support the judiciary in that respect. The next is the Judicial Judges Remuneration and Conditions of Employment Act, which deals with matters relating to judges' remuneration, conditions of service in terms of this act. And as you will realize later when the financials are dealt with, that we administer also the direct charges that relates to the judges' remuneration. Judicial Matters Amendment Act of 2015. In the main, this act, the amendment related to replacing the Director General Department of Justice with the Secretary General of the OCJ in relation to matters of accountability and functions relating to financial and reporting. The Public Service Act 1994, it is the act in terms of which the department was proclaimed and scheduled as such, and the PFMA applies to the department like any national department. The next slide deals with the legislative requirements and prescripts in relation to annual reporting. In doing so, we comply with Section 92, Subsection 2 and 3 of the Constitution, the Treasury Regulation 5 issued in terms of the PFMA, the Public Service Regulations 2016, Section 25 in Chapter 2, Part 1 thereof, the National Treasury Framework for Strategic Plans and Annual Reporting or Annual Performance Plans of 2010, as well as the Framework for Managing Program Performance and Information 2007. And these are the rules as they are pertaining to the Center of Government and the Policy Department, Treasury, DPSA, and DPME relatively. The strategic goals of the department, we perform our functions in different areas, and the goals in terms of which we are pursuing in doing so. The first strategic goal is efficient and effective administration of the Department of OCJ, ensuring the effective and efficient administration of the judiciary, of the OCJ, and that provides optimal support to the judiciary that we do through Program 1. The second strategic goal is improve administrative and technical support to the judiciary in terms of which we enable the judiciary to deliver on its constitutional mandate by providing all the administrative and technical support, i.e. supporting training of judicial officers, secretariat to the JSC, administration of the judicial branch in terms of remuneration and related matters. That we do through Program 2 and 3 of the department. The last strategic goal 3, ensuring the administration support to the superior courts, which relates to the administrative and technical support we provide for efficiency and effectiveness of the superior courts in the pursuit of the adjudication of cases as the core mandate of the judiciary. Our contribution to the National Development Plan. The OCJ supports the judiciary in its contribution to Chapter 14 of the NDP, which is promoting accountability and fighting corruption through strengthening the judicial governance and the rule of law. We do that through the following: accelerating reforms to implement judiciary-led court administration, efficient cost system, in short, reducing court administration efficiencies, ensuring access to justice, ensuring judicial accountability, and providing training to the judiciary through the Training Institute. This is what stands in Chapter 14 of the NDP in relation to the department. We also contribute to Chapter 13 of the NDP through implementing the following objectives strategically: building a capable state, strategic objective 1, capacitate the OCJ, strategic objective 2, ensuring good governance in the administration of the department. How we contribute to the medium-term strategic framework as a department: we contribute through outcome 3, all people in South Africa are and feel safe, through sub-outcome 2, an efficient and effective criminal justice system, outcome 12, an efficient and effective development-oriented public service. Now we turn into the overall performance, an overview of a three-year performance from 2015-16 up to 2017-18, the current year under review. As you would recall, 2015-16 was our maiden year when we started operating as Vote 22 independently. The first slide deals with the number of targets that we planned, achieved or not achieved. 15-16, we had 35 targets, we achieved 26, 9 were not. In 2016-17, 20 planned, 17 achieved and 3 were not. In the current year under review, 19 targets were planned and all were achieved. The next slide deals with the percentage of exactly the same information percentage-wise. In 15-16, our maiden year, we achieved 74% of our targets. In 16-17, the next year, we grew to 85%. The year under review, 17-18, we achieved 100%. The organizational overview: the department achieved an unqualified audit opinion with no material findings for this current view. For the year under review, which is 17-18 financial year, we've got a clean audit. And we had 19 planned targets, as I've already indicated. I'm not going to repeat that. An overview of our achievements: we have listed those. We received an unqualified audit outcome, no material finding this current year. We have operationalized in Limpopo High Court. We have launched a website for both the Concord, the Constitutional Court, and the OCJ to improve the public access to information about the judicial branch. 95.4% of our funded posts were filled at the end of the year. We developed the information security framework. We approved the OCJ Service Delivery Improvement Plan for the 18-21 cycle. Our service delivery customer service improvement plan was rolled out to 17 superior court centers. We should read this as centers because we don't have 17 courts. That is the service points, the 17. And 91 judicial education courses were conducted for serving and aspirant judicial officers against a target of 77. Yes, ma'am. 17 superior court centers, it's service center, not necessarily that we have 17 courts, yes. Thanks, ma'am. The next slide deals with the program structure, just to highlight that we we operate under the three program structure. Our program structure is divided into three programs. As indicated here, I think you would have seen them when we were dealing with the strategic objective. First, we deal with the administration of the department. The second program focuses on the core business, the biggest core business in the department, which is the courts, superior courts. And the third deals with matters relating to judicial education and matters of policy and judicial administration. Performance in terms of Program 1, an overview. Program 1 consists of five sub-programs in terms of our strategic plan, which ends at 2019-20, as amended. And Program 1 had 9 targets, and we have achieved all of them under all the sub-programs, management, corporate services, finance, internal audit and accommodation, which still stands in our SPs. Therefore, we have to indicate that. The next slide, it's a breakdown of each and every target. The ninth target is achieved. The first relates to the office of the capacitating the office of the Chief Justice. The baseline was 90.2%. I'll skip the objective indicators if members do not mind. 90.2%, which is 322 of 357. And the planned annual target was 10% or lower. As you would know, the DPSA prescribed that the vacancy rate must always be below 10%. Our achievement is now 4.6%, which is below 10%. 87 is a number of funded vacancies out of 1898 that we have in our establishment. You'll see that on page 58 of the annual report. Deviation is 0%, of course, and we have achieved that. The second target relates to ensuring good governance in the administration of the department, an audit outcome on financial statements, and the baseline for the previous year, 16-17, was an unqualified audit outcome achieved. And in terms of the planned targets, an unqualified audit outcome on financial statements for the 17-18 year, and the actual achievement is an unqualified audit outcome on financial statements for the 17-18 financial year, and it is all achieved. The third target is annual performance plan compliant with the national prescripts and tabled within the timelines. And the baseline was 17-18, tabled in line with the National Treasury timelines in terms of quality. As you would recall, when we do the annual performance plan, it has to go through Treasury, the DPME, as well as the Auditor General in terms of quality assurance with regard to compliance and strict timelines that are set by the Policy Department. We have achieved that. Target 4, combined assurance plan implemented, baseline. Assurance plan developed and piloted in 5 courts. The planned target was the assurance plan implemented in all the superior courts, and the achievement, the actual achievement is that the assurance plan was implemented in all the courts. 1.5, the fifth target, strategic and operational risk registers reviewed and updated. In line with the prescripts, we need to have two risk registers, one strategic and one operational, and that means the number 8, for one for each quarter, and those were all achieved. And we all present this before the annual, the Audit and Risk Committee. The sixth target, fourth risk assessment conducted within the OCJ. It was a new target, we had no baseline, and the 10th annual target was the fourth risk assessment conducted in the 24 superior court centers. I think we need to qualify that. The fourth risk assessment in terms of achievement were conducted in all the courts as planned. Seventh target, ICT, that is Information Communication Technology Master Systems Plan, implemented over the MTF. The baseline was the partially initiated ICT infrastructure project completed and e-filing system initiated. The annual target was the ICT Master System Plan implemented, which is the information security framework of the MSP developed. Actual achievement is that we implemented the information security framework. We implemented the MSP, and in relation to information security framework of the MSP developed. Eighth target, number of compliant financial performance reports submitted within the prescribed timelines. These are the financial reports which are prescribed by Treasury to be submitted by the department every month. All the 12 reports have been submitted on time, and the target is achieved. Ninth target, number of asset registers with no material findings produced in line with the prescripts. The two registers are produced one every 6 months. So the two reports have been produced in line with the prescripts, and the target is achieved. We're moving now to the overview of performance in Program 2, Superior Court Services. The program too had a total of 6 targets, all of which planned targets translated to 100% were achieved. The performance of the program, administration of the superior course, achieved 100% of its target, which is 6 of them. The next slides deal with the first, ensuring effective and efficient administration of the superior course. The indicator, percentage achieved, achievement of quasi-judicial targets, the baseline being 86%, which was 67.662 of 78.892 in the previous year. We planned the targets of 80%, then we achieved 92%, and the figures are in the brackets, 82.579 of 89.935. The deviation was 12% because the target was overachieved, and we did that because we have improved on our measures, monetary measures within the area of performance. The second target, program 2, is number of superior course performance monitoring reports produced, and all the reports were produced. The 5 was the baseline. We kept it for the current, for the year under review, and it was achieved. The third target is percentage of default judgments finalized by the registrars per year. Baseline was 85% in the previous year, and I'll skip the numbers in the brackets because they are clear. And we set the target at 80, and we achieved 89%, which is 9% overachievement. Same way in terms of how we improved our control measures and monetary measures to sustain the performance. The fourth target, percentage of taxations of legal costs finalized per year. Last year, 87% was the baseline. 80% was the target and 90% was achieved, 16% over performance. The fifth target, number of training workshops on case management conducted for registrars, statisticians, as well as registrar's clerks, 4 was the baseline. We kept the baseline at 4 and the actual performance was 8 and it exceeded by 4 due to continuous assessment of the training needs was conducted by the relevant units. And the assessment identified that the need arises for increased training to be done. The last target, percentage of warrants of release delivered within 1 year of the release granted. 88% was the previous year baseline, 98% was the target, and the target was achieved at 98%. Moving to program 3, judicial education and support. The program 3, judicial education and support, had 4 planned targets, all of which were achieved. Performance per sub-program, the institute achieved 100%. Judicial policy research and support achieved all of their targets, as well as the JSC Secretariat Support Services targets achieved. The first, enhancing judicial skills, observing and aspiring judicial officers to perform optimally. The objective indicator was the number of judicial education courses conducted per year with a baseline of 90, planned 77, achieved 91, and overachievement of 14. The course operational requirements dictated that additional training needs to be conducted. Second target, program 3, MNE, monitoring evaluation framework for judicial education and training implemented. The baseline was that the framework will be approved. And the planned target was for the framework for judicial education training implemented. Actual achievement, the framework for judicial education and training was implemented, and therefore the target was achieved. The last target, percentage of legal advisor opinions on policy development and research services provided within 15 days, 100% was the baseline. We set at 85, and 100% was achieved, because the system and procedures in place functioned optimally to enable the development of opinions as within the timelines as received. The sub-program, Judicial Service Commission, the number of reports was the target was the number of reports on judicial appointments and judicial complaints produced. The baseline was 0. The annual annual target for the 17-18 was 3. Achieved 3, and that was achieved for the year. And the 3 reports is 1 in April, 1 in October, and 1 is the annual. I would ask the CFO to deal with the two slides on the financials, and I will proceed from there.
Thank you, SG, honorable members. On the financial slides, I just want to highlight a few areas on the finances. If you look at the third last row on the first slide, which says total voted budget or total voted funds, you would note that the OCJ has spent, again, 98% of the voted funds for the 2017-18 financial year. The main reason for underspending, or the only area where we've underspent, was on the compensation of employees' budget. And the reason for that underspending is that the macro-organizational structure of the OCJ, which we've provided for in terms of budget, has not yet been approved by the Department of Public Service and Administration and the Minister. And therefore, we had to keep those vacancies until the structure is approved. Of concern, again, is that for the third year in a row, the OCJ has spent 100% of its operational budget. And the reason why it's a concern for the OCJ is it doesn't then allow us to reprioritize any funds on operations for new priorities or new mandates that might come. So that leaves us with no room to maneuver in the OCJ on operations. And we've also reported this previously to the Portfolio Committee when we did our E&E presentation on the budget. The slide also shows the overspending that occurred in the 2017-18 financial year on the direct charge from the National Revenue Fund, and that relates to the judges' salaries and the gratuities that were paid out to judges in the previous financial year. The main reason for the overspending there is the 4% salary increase that was awarded to public office bearers, and Treasury do not increase the baselines in anticipation of salary increases for public office bearers. They then, if there's an overspending, as the case was in the previous financial year, they then rectify the budget in the first 6 months of the next year. And the $32 million has already been paid back to the OCJ by National Treasury. Because it's direct charge, this overspending doesn't constitute an unauthorized expenditure, as would have been on the voted budget. Then on the next slide, this is exactly the same information, just broken down in terms of the classifications. You will then note that the compensation of employees clubbed together with the salaries of the judges, in effect underspent, if you take that into account. And then the transfers and subsidies item or classification had an overspending of $15.8 million. That is where we pay the gratuities of judges from the direct charge as well. So judges are entitled to a gratuity after every 15 years and 20 years of service as a judge. But this is a part of the portion that the National Treasury then pays back to the OCJ when there's an overspending, because it's a legislated benefit and we have to comply with those. So in summary then, the OCJ has spent in total 98% of its voted budget, but in essence, when you take into account the overspending on the direct charts, there's an overspending of $10.4 million, which has already now been corrected by the National Treasury. But there are no penalties to the OCJ in terms of the PFMA because it's a direct charge. Thank you, SG.
Any
additions? Thanks, Chair. I'll just a few slides and I'll be completing. The next slides, just in conclusion, deals with the Auditor General's audit coverage and scope for the safe. Yes, 39, page slide 39. On the 17-18 outcomes, the Auditor General has already presented to this committee, so I would just highlight the relevant areas without going into the details. The table indicates that the audit focus area, annual financial statement in the last year, 16-17, we had no material misstatements in relation to the financial statements. We had, on the annual performance, report, the ARP, we have EPR, we had material findings identified on reported quasi-judicial performance information in terms of reliability and on compliance with legislation, that is still 1617. We had no material non-compliance with key legislation identified. So the only area that we had an issue in the 1617 was on the APR. The year under review, 1718, financial statements, annual financial statements, we had no material misstatements identified. As well as the APR, we had no material findings on performance in terms of usefulness and reliability. On compliance with legislation, we also had no material findings identified by the Auditor General, and therefore the clean audit. That is a comparison of 1617, the year under review. The next slide really compares the 3 years from the day that, from the year that we are operating as the vote 22, the budget vote. 1516 was our maiden. 1617, the second year, 1718 is the current we're reporting on. As the best dashboard indicates there, in the first maiden year, we were unqualified, we had findings, and we put in place mechanism to deal with all the findings that we had, and we worked on them and reported to the audit committee as required. Then the next year, 1617, we still were unqualified, and the improvement was, as I've indicated, only performance, the APR, but the rest financial statement and compliance legislation were clean. And 1718, the year under review, now we are unqualified with no findings. The next slide, Chairperson, with your, I will skip because I think the AG has already presented all this information, which indicates the areas that is concerned and all that, and they have been identified, unless you want me to zoom on those. Okay. Compliance monitoring and IT systems was identified as areas that we need to look at. And we, as I've indicated, what we do, we have an audit facilitation team amongst us at management level, which we look at the areas that the AG as well as the internal auditor identifies, and then we attend to those. In the IT system controls, we have improved, we have assisted the head of ICE, internal audit, to get the capacity because they didn't have the capacity with the IT audit. So that has been given attention. Supply chain, I think the CFO can zoom on that and indicate those areas of concern. The key role players and level of assurance provided is indicated there, the three levels. In terms of, you'll see all of them are green, except the senior management, of course, that relates to the yellow areas in the slides before, where we need to indicate as, I mean, we need to address to certain issues as management. Other than that, in conclusion, we would like to thank the Portfolio Committee for the continued oversight in ensuring that the department continues to execute its mandate efficiently. That I will deal with later when we take questions. I will deal with that slide later. Yeah. I don't want to raise this one in up front. And I think members understand why.
My apologies for the presentation and your team. And I know members are eager to ask questions. Before they do so, let me start by commending you as a department once more by having obtained a clean audit after getting an unqualified one for two consecutive years with findings, and again reduction of vacancy rate to acceptable standard and norms to 4.6%. And your key achievements, the OCJ's key achievements on slide 19, that's commendable, and the financial expenditure you the SG explained the reasons, the rationale behind that. What I would like to know is that issue of, I don't know whether it's still pending, of that one judicial officer, the judge who did not declare the interest and what is obtaining now. Honorable members? Questions? Honorable Horn, Honorable Breitenbach. Only to hand Honorable Kosana, Honorable Bumlana, Honorable Van Rooyen, then Honorable Maila. Okay. Can start, Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Madam Acting Chair. Yes. In respect of the slide that was withdrawn, I know we've had this engagement every time when you come here, and I think we as a committee now have a clear understanding that you are of the view that you're not to encroach upon those functions that really lies with the judiciary, and that I understand. But yet some of the issues remain. I think if I saw that slide correctly, it had the words in there of part of your functions is to support the judiciary, and in terms of I think previous engagement you made that distinction between administrative functions and judicial functions, which is all well and fine, but then we sit with a situation of the ground up article towards the end of September this year, which reported that 2/3 of reserve judgments in our High Court ultimately were late. And then it was released on the 27th of September, and the very next day what we found was a request from the Office of the Chief Justice, so the department, that this article must be withdrawn because it is based on factually incorrect information or statistics given by the Office of the Chief Justice to ground up. So in that, I think, lies the essence of our problem with the way in which the department deals with specifically those tricky issues which you feel lies with the enhancement committees and the judiciary itself. Because the reality in respect of, for example, the right to access to information, one would think that ground up ultimately would be able to knock on your door for relevant information. And now, unless I understand it correctly, the department were not able to give the correct information at that specific stage when it was requested. So the question really is, going forward, wouldn't it be also supportive of the judicial functions of the judiciary if the department do not necessarily just stand back from all administration of information regarding stuff like the reserve judgments and the delays or the time it takes to deliver reserve judgments? So, to be practical, for example, wouldn't it ultimately also assist the judiciary and enable this committee to play a meaningful oversight role if you, for example, would be able to, on a monthly basis, circulate to members of the judiciary a list of their own reserved judgments, and then obviously it would enable you to have that information readily available. So that's the one issue. I don't want to go to the point where we expect of you to come and account on behalf of the judiciary, but it would seem that the manner in which you just were very much hands off this issue ultimately now led to a bit of a conundrum for the department, or at least a public relations issue. Then my second question and last question, Madam Acting Chair, is in respect of the ongoing saga regarding the judicially-led court administration model, which the judiciary and specifically the Chief Justice is very much in favour of, And if we can, from the department side, and also once again, just I know in the past they say that they only involved in terms of facilitating research and setting up engagement forums between the minister, the executive, and the judiciary, but if we could be apprised as to whether there's any progress at all in finalizing this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, I'm covered.
Thanks, Honorable Acting Chair, and greetings to everyone. No, we welcome the report from the OCJ. I think it's a very good report, must indicate. I see a lot of grim faces all over the report, and that is it's very good. Yeah, I see here on your targets on slide number 16 that you have achieved all your targets. You had 19 targets and you have achieved all of them. But when you look back in 2015-16, your targets were 35. Then you achieved 26. In 2016-17, your targets were 20. Then you achieved 17. Then 2018-2019. Your target 19 and you achieve all of them. That's very good. Though my concern is that every year you are decreasing your target. You see, because I think if you had 35 targets like you had in 2015-16, I think it was a different story. Is it not that you are making lesser target in order to make your work easy, so that it becomes very easy for you to achieve your target? Just worried about that. You say you are every year reducing your target so that maybe it becomes very easy for you. But anyway, I think well done in terms of the achievement of targets. Secondly, also well done on receiving the clean audit. I think you have worked very hard moving from the unqualified with matters to clean audit. I think it's a very good thing. We really appreciate that. Well, the difficult thing that when you achieve this clean audit is that it's what we're going to charge you with the following years. It means you can't perform lesser than that. I think if you achieve an unqualified with matters, I think we're going to raise a query with that. So we expect you also in the next year and in the other years to maintain that clean audit. You see, the best thing about high achievement is that you've got a responsibility to maintain it, because that's what we're going to judge you on. Well, the last matter on the issue of the budget, I also see that you have spent, like the CFO indicated, 98% of your budget. I think that's very good. And I think you also provided the reason why you did not spend 100% on the issue of the 21 million that was supposed to be used for the compensation of employees on the other posts that are vacant because the organogram could not be approved by the relevant department. I think that's quite understandable. And also the issue of over expenditure, but that was also corrected later on the issue on the 32 million that was used for salary increase for judges. I think it's also understandable. Just that I don't understand why can't the Treasury, is the Treasury not able to predict the salary increase annually when they make this allocation? Because it means if the Treasury can't predict that, it means every year we're going to have this kind of a problem. The budget is only put at a level the compensation of the employees amount or percentage at that particular year. Now, if there's any increase, then it means you will have to go into an over expenditure. Then later is then that the Treasury then must come back and reimburse you and correct that. So I just want to find out, the CFO, as to is the Treasury unable to predict this thing so that at least you are not far from what we are going to spend in terms of the compensation of employees. No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Okay, thank you so much, Honorable Pandora.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe I should also start by welcoming the so-called clean audit. I got my own argument why I call it the so-called clean audit. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's not a clean audit. Now, even the AG knows my opinion about this phrasing of a clean audit. So it's an elusive phenomenon within the departments of government. I hope we've all been following what is the AG's takes about the performance of departments. So I can't agree more with the chairperson, I mean, to welcome this good performance. And I hope that, because I can see the department is a new establishment, I hope that it's not benefiting from that saying of a new broom that sweeps in. Yeah, so I would really want to encourage the team to remain focused and ensure that the standard is not compromised. This is something that we miss in other departments. Chair, mind I just clarity seeking questions, mainly on the financials, CFO. The first being on the interest paid as a result of firstly, late payment of invoices that was for our, I think it's for our fleet services, as well as late payment on an arbitration award to an official. Well, what I just want to check there, because remember we must also sometimes play our role in terms of ensuring that you don't lower the standard. Was this not avoidable? The second area that I think the committee will be important for the committee, not unless the committee was taken on board maybe before one joined this committee. It's on the carrying of the repair cost on the hired vehicle after a clear determination was made that the whole thing was not caused by negligence. Now, what I want to confirm here, I'm not saying the determination process was right or wrong, but I just want an assurance that a due process was followed for you to reach that determination. It's important, Chair, for one to ask for such assurance, because tomorrow we don't want to be blamed as a committee of parliament that we have endorsed something without obtaining details, not unless the committee was provided with the details of the process followed for you to make that particular determination that this accident happened not as a result of negligence. And that's why you then said the department should then incur this particular cost. The third area that I wanted clarity on. What constitutes the staff debt? But you can also link that to tax debt. CFO. What constitutes staff debt? You know, with my experience as a former councillor, I'll always be preoccupied with the subject of councillors that are owing the municipality and officials. So as a result, we had to introduce some policy to deal with this development. So I'm very interested to see that there is such also in your practice. So it will be very interesting to know what goes into this. But also your text that, I mean, can you just explain what goes into that? And lastly, it's immersive because I can see in one area of your detailed report, you say the main portion of the finance lease amount relates to leasing of judges' vehicles in terms of their legislated benefit. Now, I thought leases or finance leases or maybe leases of vehicles for judges falls within the main fleet a contract that you have, maybe with a service provider. But it's in a sense it's separated from the main fleet service contract. So I'll appreciate if maybe you shed some more light on that area too, CFO. Those are the few areas actually that I thought one should be clarified.
I'm just inquiring about the annual reports of the Judicial Services Commission and whether we can have access to that, please, and why it's not included.
Greetings to members of the OCJ, and thank you very much for your presentation, which shows you are doing a very good job. I just wanted to touch on few issues, and we have of your plan. Basically, we have a problem of overcrowding in prisons generally. Do you have any plan to assist towards that? The second problem is, you know, there is nothing very conservative as the judiciary generally. I want to find out if what are your programs to transfer the judiciary to reflect the interest of the majority of the people in this country. You know, we inherited a type of the judiciary. Are we satisfied? Are we going that way? Is there any way of trying to at least show that this is an African country? Problem of access to justice, for example. And I'm told, and I believe it because I did talk to the Chief Justice about the program of promoting only English in the judiciary and suppressing all other languages. Though the Constitution clearly says that all the languages are equal. What are you? Are you really satisfied that we really become part of Britain? The other one, what are the plans towards a single judiciary that is including the magistracy and under your arm, so that we have a single judiciary in terms of Section 166 of the Constitution. I can be happy if you can assist me in that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The team is here and we will deal with the relevant questions together. Thanks, honourable members, for the words of encouragement also with regards to the performance of the department. The judge who did not display the risk trouble interests, you will note, honourable members, that in the report, the annual report, all the matters that relate to the judiciary as part of the delineation has been taken off. But at the Judicial Service Commission, the Chief Justice did give the report of the state of the report on all declarations. And the judge who did not declare was the judge who was sick, and she is still indisposed. And ultimately, obviously, after the end of the reporting period, that was attended to. I don't know if it covers your question, Madam Chair. It was Judge in Gauteng who was ill, and has been ill for quite some time. Yeah. That was terrible. Raised trouble interest. Or was it not the question? Okay, yeah. All right. Thanks. The issue relating to the judiciary-led court administration model, Honourable Hall, the situation is still the same. There hasn't been progress ever since our last appearance here on that matter. It's still a matter that lies between the executive branch and the judicial branch to sort out. Nothing has changed, no progress I'm able to report on that one. The matter relating to the reserved judgments and the ground up article, the comments is noted, Honourable Horn, and the matter has been ventilated before the heads of courts. The issue that I want to raise also is that we do give the support to the judiciary on these matters of their performance. However, the only issue that arose there was because reserve judgment is a moving target. As and when time passes, judgments are being given. The issue was not necessarily that the support given by the OCJ is lacking. It's just that as at the time of the release, progress has happened with certain information, and therefore it was not a substantive error. It was a matter that at the time the information was not relevant as such. But we take the note. We take note of your comment. As I've said, the heads of courts have ventilated on the issue. I don't want to get much into that arena, as you understand my position. They have ventilated on the matter as the heads of courts, and they have indicated how the matter will be dealt with. It is correct. The information is circulated amongst the heads of courts so that they can also do their assurance on the matter, and the matter information will be placed in the website. And the head of court administration is here. He can take the matter further if there is any issue, and we note the public relation issue, and we'll deal with it moving forward as such. The reduction is in the slide 16 of the targets. I would like to remind the members of this committee that when the delineation of functions between the administration and the judicial functions happened, we had to remove, I think, around 14 of the statistical table that dealt with matters that sits in the judicial space, and we added some of the targets that comes from the administration side. But the point one would like to make also is that much as we have these targets and indicators on the annual performance, we also have the operational plan in the department, which has a very high number of targets and indicators that we're managing internally. In addition to that, we are also managing and supporting the judiciary on their own targets within the organization, which we cannot put in the public space because they are the one who will deal with them. So yes, on the face of it might appear as if we are reducing targets because we want to achieve, but that is not so. A lot of work is happening in supporting the judiciary as well as in the operational plan, which we can offline share and see how we are performing, because I think the head of M&E is here. He can just give a highlight of how our operational plan targets work goes. The other issue related to the annual report of the JSC, I have taken the matter with the Chief Justice after it was raised last time. the annual report is already been drafted, as it will be submitted before the end of this month. It is available in draft. As soon as it's finalized, it will be submitted. It is there. The issue of overcrowding, it is dealt with as part of the stakeholder relations for the courts, which the NEEC deals with, chaired by the Chief Justice and the JPs in the provinces, where the Department of Correctional Services, the Judiciary Prosecution, and others sit and deal with this matter. So it is not dealt with separately, as the department is dealt with in that platform, where it is looked at the JP division level as well as at the national level. The issue of language, English as a language of record, the Chief Justice has explained the issue in the media, because it also arose, I think, in the media, and he dealt with the issue. At the heart of it, without trying to enter that space, is the language of record as English has got its implications. All the languages that are used in this country, which are official, are used in the courts, the interpretation services provided. The issue of record, because of its financial implication and infrastructure that is needed to deal with it, is at stake, and that is why that English as a language of record, not the language of usage, because anybody can use any language in the courts. And I think that has been dealt with in that aspect. With regards to the single judiciary, I assume Honorable Mpumulwana refers to the magistracy coming to the OCJ, single judiciary. That matter is still in the hands of the minister and the executive, as the executive authority, and those discussions are in its essence related to the question that was raised by Honorable Horn relating to the judiciary-led court administration model. And I can only say that since the last time we appeared here, there hasn't been any progress on this matter that I can report on. I will ask the CFO will deal with the financials. If there's any other question, I'll come back to it later. Thanks. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Acting Chair. I'm going to respond first to the question raised by Honorable Skosana, and that deals with the issue around the overspending on the judges' remuneration and conditions of employment issues. The fact of the matter is, Honorable, every year during the adjustment budget process, which we've just completed now, we do raise the issue and we do warn National Treasury that we are projecting overspending on the compensation of judges. They then take note of this possible overspending, and it then enables them at the end of the financial year to have been forewarned about the overspending, and they can then put plans in place to use savings in other areas in the national budget to fund these overspending. In the current financial year, we've already written to them and indicated that we are again projecting an overspending of about 33 million for the current financial year on the same issue. But in terms of their processes, it's just that they only rectify the National Revenue Fund issues after conclusion of the budget. We can only formally inform them of the actual overspending once the audit is concluded, because they only refund on the audited figures and not on projected figures. So there is a process followed to warn them. They put plans in place, but they only refund after the final audit of the previous year has been concluded, to work on the actual figure to refund us. Then on the questions raised by Honorable Van Rooyen, the first one deals with the fruitless and wasteful expenditure report of the one is 23,000 rand, the other one is around 4,000 rand on the interest paid. The first one was the late payment of the Stanek invoices, the fleet services invoices. Maybe it's necessary to give a bit of a background on this issue. When the functions were transferred from the Department of Justice, part of the transfer was the Stanek fleet service, with the vehicles that resided in the Department of Justice. For the Superior Courts were also transferred to the Office of the Chief Justice. Now, the Stanek contract ran for a period of 3 years in the Department of Justice. So when the function was transferred, the contract had to be taken over by the OCJ as well. The interim agreement with us and Justice was they will honor the contract until the contract expires, and then it will be transferred and we need to enter into our new contract as the OCJ, which happened in the 2017-18 financial year. In that transfer process, there was a delay in terms of some payments when the Stanek account was still submitted to the Department of Justice instead of the OCJ. Then we were late in, I think, two or three payments where they raised interest of 4,000 Rand for those, the 1 month that the payment was late. So that was a transfer issue. Surely it could have been prevented, but it happened in that 1 month we paid after 30 days and they raised the interest which we had to pay. On the other issue of the interest that we had to pay, the arbitration award, the Honourable Member will note that the financial statements indicate that the matter is still under investigation. It's an arbitration award of an official that was transferred from the Department of Justice to the OCJ. So the whole legal process in terms of the agreement was conducted still as the responsibility of the Department of Justice. Anything that happened before 2015 in terms of HR-related matters, in terms of the service level agreement, was supposed to be paid for and happening in the and dealt with in the Department of Justice. The OCJ were then notified in the financial year that there was an arbitration award which was supposed to have been implemented, but because the official is now on the parcel system of the OCJ, we had to pay for the arbitration award. So the matter is still under investigation. In all probability, we will claim this money back from the Department of Justice because the case emanated from before 2015. But this matter is not yet finalized. But in the next financial statements, obviously, we will report on how the matter was solved. If it's a debt to Justice, it will be raised as a debt, and Justice needs to pay the money back to us. Then the next question was relating to the repair cost to an hired vehicle of one of the commissioners of the JEC. That matter has been properly investigated. It's been dealt with in terms of our loss control processes and the prescripts in terms of loss control as prescribed by Treasury as well as our internal financial instructions. This matter was also thoroughly audited by the AG. This was one of the batches that was audited by the Auditor General, and they found that there was no negligence and we were correct to condone this expenditure and not recover the expenditure from the JEC Commissioner. The other question relates to staff debt. Very briefly, the largest portion of the staff debt is debt that we still inherited from the Department of Justice. So if there was any debt created against any officials for overpayments or under recovery of tax, in terms of the partial transfer of the officials, we had to take over the debt and recover that debt on a monthly basis. So that portion of the debt is recovered every month. But then there are elements of staff debt. You will note that the staff debt was 182,000 in the previous financial year and 350-something thousand in the financial year under review. In some instances, the staff debt refers to overpayment of officials. In two or three occasions, officials resigned towards the end of the financial year, and then partial still paid the salary, so the officials were not terminated on partial in time, and then those officials were still paid after resignation. That debt has since been recovered. Then the major portion of the staff debt reflected is in terms of advances that were paid to officials who are responsible to support the circuit courts. When judges have circuit courts in other areas of the country, officials have to pay for their own travel cost in advance, and therefore the OCJ sometimes pays advances to the officials who cannot afford. It's sometimes level 5 and level 7 officials who support the judges, and then advances are paid to them. Then after the circuit courts, then they come back and they submit the proof of expenditure, and then they either pay back the money when they reconcile or we owe the money and we pay the rest of the money. But any advance pay that is not yet reconciled is reflected as a staff debt until the reconciliation has happened. That is the other main reason for staff debt. And then in some instances there were tax that had to be recovered because they were under taxed on the personal system. Then at the end of the financial year, the tax hasn't been recovered, it's shown as a staff debt. Then the other one that you requested, Honorable Van Rooyen, was on the tax debt, why the amount for tax debt. That is just how the BAS system works at the end of the financial year. It is tax that we are still owing to SARS. On the 31st of March, when the system closes, BAS doesn't pay that amount over to SARS. Because of the financial year enclosure, and it only happens more or less 7 days after the 31st of March. So all the tax that we've recovered from the officials and judges on the 31st of March was about 500,000 rand, is paid over 7 days after closure. But because it's not paid exactly on the 31st, we have to reflect that as a tax debt owing to SARS on that stage on the 31st. So that is why it is reflected as a tax debt. Your last question raised was on the lease of judges' vehicles, on the commitments. The reason why it is stated as a commitment, in the past all operational costs around vehicles was part of your goods and services budget, but because of the determination in 2016 when the SCOA codes and the SCOA classification changed, the fixed monthly fixed amounts on your rentals of vehicles is now part of your capital expenditure and the transport portion of your capital expenditure, and therefore that portion, the fixed amount, must be stated as a commitment for the period of lease, the 12-month short-term commitment as well as then the longer-term commitment. So the bulk of our commitments are for the judges' vehicles that are on the lease contracts through either G-Fleet or the Western Cape Fleet government boat, the transport fleet in the Western Cape. I have the bulk of our judges' vehicles on contract, and therefore we state that as a lease commitment in the financials. Honourable Acting Chair, you indicated on the issue indicated on one of the slides there was a yellow with a red arrow down on supply chain. Maybe I can address that as well quickly. The reason why supply chain was listed as a yellow this year is for the first time in the 3 years there were findings on supply chain management. In actual fact, we had two findings. Out of all the procurement issues, they only had two areas where they had a finding. And that was on the issue of procurement outside local content, where the local content SBDB 6.2 forms were not completed by the companies who awarded the procurement. The one was for judges' robes, where the Gauteng province procured judges' robes for the acting judges. I think the procurement was about 60,000. And in terms of the Department of Trade and Industry and Treasury prescript, local content on textiles needed to be declared by the service provider, which didn't happen. And the other one was the procurement of furniture for judges' chambers in Gauteng, where the supplier didn't declare the local content of the materials used in the manufacturing of the furniture. So it was two findings for the first time ever we had any findings, and that is why the AG said previously there were none findings, no findings, so this year we had two, and that is why they said SEM was now an area of concern. So in the bigger scheme of things, it was only two findings out of all the procurement that the batches that were scrutinized by the AG.
On the JSC, the question was the annual report. And I responded to say I've raised the matter with the Chief Justice and the Chair. We have drafted the report for the JSC, and it will be submitted before the end of October. It is ready.
Yes, I just want to a clarification, ma'am. When you say language of record, you mean the proceedings in court can be done in any language, as long as what is recorded later on. In other words, it can be done through the medium of Afrikaans, right, and interpreted into the record in English. Or does it mean the proceedings must be done in English and interpreted to the rest of the people in their languages? What exactly are you doing? Because what is happening here, and there's a confusion, this is what I want to say. There is a statute here, which is the Official Languages Act 12 of 2012, which obliges the, for the promotion of the 12 official languages, mainly. That's 12. In so much that each and every department or a sub-department should have a unit, a language unit that determines on that, to do that type of a thing. Section 7 of that act. What? I'm not going to ask whether you have got that. It seems that the judge, the supreme judge, decides on these matters. I'm not sure whether it's according to the unit that was established. However, I just want a clarification. Because if it is that the language, what it means that in every court there has to be, it must be conducted in English, and then there could be an interpreter to explain people who don't understand. Then there is a problem, because there's no access to justice. That I quoted one thing, for example, to say you have a policeman writing the statement in English. Now, he is not an interpreter. The person is speaking in African language. Then the whole case depends on whether it was done in that manner. Which record are you talking about? Are you saying the statement must be written in the English? Because then you have a problem, as I say, that a policeman writing in English and the whole case up to the High Court, up to the Supreme Court, depends on that statement that was given by that person. I just want a clarification on that. Secondly, in other words, which records are you talking about of the court? And we have, as I said, a problem of interpreter. We have got very good interpreters of the language, but I personally would say there will be more justice, there will be better justice, if the languages from the statement are in the ordinary languages of the people, and then the whole thing then is translated by professional interpreters into the record. So that the whole thing, or everything now, is conducted in those languages. Now, if you can't consider that, can you discuss the matter with the Chief Justice in that matter? Because we have a problem. There is a confusion in the court, in so much that two languages are understanding. The judge understand the language, but the interpreter interprets something different, and even at that time the judge says, oh, it's not what has been said. You know, this is what has been said. You find that the whole thing, the interpreter is supposed to be final. The word is supposed to be final, more than that one of a judge. Now, we want to find out, is this to mean the proceeding must be in English, or the proceedings can be in an other language, and then the record be given in English. Thank you.
Modula Stula ke simolole ka go leboga dikarabo tse di tlhatlhwa tse di maleba tse re di kry-ileng. I hope I know you know one of the African languages.
It's your book.
No, mine is not a follow-up, just a request. I mean, you gave a very detailed and interesting elaboration around the stuff that I found it very interesting, and I think it will be important for the committee to familiarize themselves with the facets of that debt. So if you can just get an analysis shared with the committee, not necessarily now, you can submit it later, and then we'll definitely go through it. So as next time when you come, we are able then to unpack this appropriately. Thank you very much.
I still have questions for program.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. Whilst we welcome the improvements, I just wanted to check one thing, Chairperson. There is this project which is called the Integrated Justice System Project. I want to check whether the Office of the Chief Justice is part of that project, and if it is, from the Office of the Chief Justice, how do you see this project to be running? Is it going where we need it to go? Are there improvements that you can suggest that they be done in order for the project to reach its desired destination? Thank you very much.
Program 3, Sajay. Earlier on I said, remember, I think it's somewhere last year, 16-17 financially, the performance in terms of targets was very low. So today I can see that Sajay managed to, OCJ managed to reach all targets in terms of Program 3, your program?
Yes.
Program 3, also that is very much commendable. But what I would like to know in terms of training, is Sajay still continuing with training of traditional leaders? Because that training which was held in was Makhubasloof, ne? Yes, in Makhubasloof, really was very much informative, because I went through the workshop or the training package, very much informative and very progressive. And in terms of the operations of our traditional courts, that assisted a lot, especially the number of appeals from the traditional courts to the magistrate court have reduced dramatically so. So what I would like to, drastically so. So what I would like to know is that, are you, SRG, still training Magoshiarena, our traditional leaders? Because that one was apparently a provincial one. And then in other provinces, total number of Magoshi trained so far, how many have you? And then another issue on slide 9, legislative mandates on still on Sajay. On F, you are rendering such assistance to foreign judicial institutions and courts. So may you also share light on that, which institutions and so forth, and the courts, I assume, is local courts, ne? And then the underspending on financial CFO, the underspending on COE compensation of employees. So also just unpack it, just shed light on that, because I didn't get it clearly when you were presenting.
Okay. Honorable Bumlan.
That's one point that I asked earlier, which I'm not sure if I had the answer to. Maybe I wasn't concentrating, I apologize if you did, was the question on, I said the judiciary is very stiff organization. What are we continuing in the old order, or is there any plan to transform the judiciary to reflect the that we are an African country, and that the values that we have as African people and the procedures that we do are reflected in the system of government? That's all I wanted to find out. Or are we, to put it crudely, like Nigerians putting the hoods? No, I'm saying generally in deciding on matters, is there anything that you could say that shows that we are an African country, or we're going to continue as part of our pretenses? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the questions. The first one on the training of traditional leaders, yes, we did run the program on training of traditional leaders in consultation with the traditional leaders, the one that was representing National House of Traditional Leaders on the council, Nkosi Mabondla. And then now we have a new one, Nkosi Ngonyama, that we have also engaged in Sajena, yes, Nkosi Ngonyama. We have even addressed the National House of Traditional Leaders on to sustain the training. We've had two events where the traditional leaders were represented, one on HIV AIDS and human rights, and the other one on human rights, we're covering refugee housing, etc., for a period of 4 days. We are currently waiting for a directive from Nkosi Ngonyama as well as COFTA to put a plan together. Because as the institute, we don't need to impose training on them. We need to consult with the traditional leadership as well as COFTA. So we are waiting. Our senior magistrates who also come from traditional leadership, who have assisted us with training, they are ready to assist when that plan is submitted to Sajay. On the number of traditional leaders, that would then relate to the previous financial years, because as I report, now we don't have anything, but we are ready to assist.
That one then, because it doesn't fall under this information.
Okay, thank you, that's noted, Chair. On the rendering assistance to foreign judicial institutions as well as courts. Recently, as far as courts is concerned, because we now have four judicial educators who are experienced senior magistrates at the institute, who are helping with implementing our annual training schedule. They have recently, we had a session on maintenance, because there's issues around future maintenance, not only for the judiciary, but also for the support staff that are doing the work at the courts. We have recently conducted training in Northwest at the request of the Judge President to make sure that as much as the magistrates are trained on that issue, also the support staff, because there were issues around that as far as the Judge President. In order for us to render the assistance to foreign judicial institutions, we started in Africa. We have facilitated an establishment of a network of heads of judicial education institutes in Africa, as well as in countries where they don't have the Judicial Education Institute. We've got a member of a training committee for the judiciary in those countries. As we speak now, we started in SADC. As we speak now, we have representation the entire Africa, all the continents, Francophone, Anglophone, and as well as Lusophone, which are the
Portuguese-speaking countries, in order so that we can be able to to render that assistance. We started under the umbrella of environmental law, which is a common topic for all the countries. And we are hoping that we'll also, we are also working on one on HIV and AIDS, how we can be able to in the training, and how in terms of in Africa for the judiciary and for those that are supporting the judiciary where possible. No, because we don't have the money as an institute, as we know, as OCJ. So we normally engage with the funding agencies where possible to bring them to, because Johannesburg is central, to bring them to Johannesburg and to be able to attend to address these issues. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chairperson. Thanks, Chairperson. I'll start with the IJS. We do participate in the IJS as the OCJ, and we are represented at the board of the ICJ of the IJS. As you will recall, backwards historically, we had to approach as a new department. When you participate at the IJS level, you have to be at a certain level of maturity with your ICT because you're talking integration. So we are a new department. We have started to build our infrastructure from ICT at different levels. MSP, the Master System Plan, is in place. We are busy implementing it at operational as well as the APP level. Now, we agreed with Treasury that because we are not ready for integration at that level then the money that would have been given to us from IJS should be built into our baseline so that we can start, because other departments are ahead of us in the justice environment. And that was agreed, and that's where we started with, I think the initial allocation was 20 million CFO, if I still recall. So we have used that to build our infrastructure to prepare to go into that level. In addition to that, the progress we have made is that we are now implementing through the IJS the e-filing. Sorry, we are in the process of developing the e-filing solution through the IJS. So that is one project that we are participating at that level with the IJS. So to answer the question, yes, we are participating with the in the IJS. And that's where we are working with the judges. The issue of language, Honorable Nkumulwana, I would want to seek the indulgence of the House to let me not pronounce on something which the Chief Justice has already indicated. The Chief Justice determined the language of record, because those are court proceedings, and he has gone to length to explain why the English should be the language of record. What I had tried to explain, I hope it's acceptable, is that the language that are used in the courts, if I am a Motswana, I will speak Setswana. There will be an interpreter that interprets the proceedings. And the record that will be produced in the criminal environment, that record will be in English. And the Chief Justice went to length to explain the intricacies that are involved in trying to use all the languages in the courtroom, because the infrastructure does not exist and it needs a lot of resources to be able to build the infrastructure to be at that level. And it involves a whole series of things. You need to develop terminology in different languages. You need infrastructure relating. It goes on and on. And I would like to be indulged not to go further, because I think that matter has been ventilated by the Chief Justice. May I add to say that it is one of the issues, perhaps, as the committee in the last appearance indicated their willingness to meet with the Chief Justice to deal and ventilate some of the issues that you raised, that the OCJ is not in a position to deal with them due to delineation. The Chief Justice did agree to that the meeting can take place and then the agendas and the logistics can be dealt with. And I would appeal that maybe it's one of the issues that could be taken in that meeting should it go forward in that context, amongst other issues that have been raised that lies in the judicial space. That will be my appeal, Honorable Chairperson. Mr. Mube is the Chief Director responsible for Code Administration and also the spokesperson for the Judicial Branch. Yeah.
How does this relate to the
in Limpopo? Yes. Mr. Mulukela reports to Mr. Mube. Yes.
Because there are very critical issues pertaining to various courts. So, mention of courts in that type of
And again,
you know how
what's happening there in Polokwane and Toyando. You must be well aware of what is happening there in terms of a lot of things, water and related issues. So I don't know whether as a Mr. Mulukela's superior, you are aware of all those things, or is it somehow different? Your role with that of
Maybe to explain the role, the unit as a whole is responsible for all the courts, and the head of court administration has representatives in different provinces. Mr. Mulukela, in particular, is a provincial head of that particular province. So he reports directly to me. So yes, indeed, in any matter that happens in any high court, including the Concord and the SCA, I believe that I know 95% of what is happening there. So I've been to Polokwane myself, and with the CFO, who is also responsible for facilities. And we've been to Polokwane. We are aware. When you visited, we are aware, and we were on board. I had also informed the very day when you were there. We discussions we had with the ST, and we provided some guidance where we could. But the challenge, of course, it was still the CFO may explain. The challenge is that we are not. We don't have the function to do certain things. It lies with the DPW. And also some of it with the Department of Justice. But where we can, we always take responsibility. I'm aware of the challenges also in Tohoyando regarding the chamber that banned, but it's being attended to.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. I don't know if there's anything that we did not touch, otherwise.
Anything they didn't
respond
to?
Yes, there was.
I'm
sure he the one of transformation, you remember.
Transformation of Advocate Mpumalanga, sorry, Honorable Mpumalanga is...
I have a problem. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Honorable Mpumalanga, you were saying what are we doing to ensure the judiciary is transformed, and that transformation is much broad. It could be in terms of whether the bench is transformed. It could be the issue of language that we have just raised, and etc. I just want to highlight the fact that the OCJ and the department responsible to support the judiciary deals with matters that does not deal with judicial policy, because those lies with the minister in the executive. We assist the judiciary in relation to all matters that the, as previously indicated, to support them with the research, etc. But at the heart of this is the judicially-led court administration, which the Chief Justice and the heads of courts have developed, have submitted to the executive. And I had reported that since our last appearance, there has not been any movement. So these things are tied around that. So it may be, as my suggestion, not that I'm avoiding the question. It is a matter maybe that needs to be ventilated with the Chief Justice when the meeting happens with the Portfolio Committee, so that that matter can be dealt with at that level. It is not a matter that I, as the head of department or accounting officer, I will be able to provide an answer that will be acceptable, because it's a high-level policy matter. it is in the NDP, in the National Development Plan, and everything hinges around that. And for as long as the policymakers are not making progress on that with the judiciary, my hands are tied. I hope it. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
It's now got to, as a justice committee, we have done justice to OCG. It's now got to 12. We had 2 hours, 45 minutes to deal with. No, not that. 1 hour, 45 minutes, yes, to deal with OCG. So I think they have responded to all questions we raised, responding successfully so. Yes. So I thought Nechiozu will say something. So thanks so much. I hope those issues which we raised are requesting you to respond in writing, like the one of Sajay, which is not under this review financially. I hope you'll do so maybe within 14 days, if possible, yes, to the committee. And as to the issue, long outstanding issue relating to request of a meeting to the Chief Justice, we'll request the Secretary to do the necessary logistics as and when our program permits, because there are really very serious pertinent issues which we'd like to share with him. Also, I know he would like to share some other issues with this committee. But all in all, thank you so much. Sustain the clean audit, sustain the good performance. Come 1920, if some of us will be coming back, we want to see you still flying the flag very high. No, where do you say so?
Oh, 2019.
Yes, 1920. Yes, I say, actually, I'm talking term of 17-18 financially. Tell her I'm financially, you know, I come from Limpopo, don't forget. Yes, 1920, I'm right. So, thanks so much, and have a safe flight back to the various destinations, I hope so. Thank you so much. So, honorable members, we are breaking and we'll come back at 1 o'clock. So, be seated. Oh, no, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock for legal aid is 1 o'clock. Other members will be landing at 11 o'clock. Remember, we gave them 1 o'clock in terms of our program. So now it's 11:45, isn't it? It's 13 minutes to 12. So by 5:02, be seated. 3 minutes to, we are starting to 1. So you have a very long break.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
What's the difference between Maila and Maila? They are all the same language. Tell me what it means, the difference.
Somebody in the morning.